Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nosey.
This is Onique.
And we've got a lot to cover. We're going to get right into it. Onique, I want to thank you again. You did a lot of homework this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of updates. I know for the last two episodes we were talking just strictly about Outlaws of Thunder Junction. This time we're not really talking. I mean, we're still going to be talking about the set a little bit, but not like the whole episode.
Right,
But
we're
there's a lot of little
dedicated.
things here and there that came up that it's like, okay, this is good to talk about. This is good to talk about. So we got a lot of little topics.
Absolutely. And we're starting off with Card of the Week this week. And you got Card of the Week this week.
Fresh off the bonus sheet of the big score, this is one of the ones that has a chance to be on the list, I suppose, if that's what you want to call it. Simulacrum Synthesizer. Two in a blue for an artifact. When it enters the battlefield, scry two. Whenever another artifact with mana value three or greater enters the battlefield under your control, create a construct. That's what I call it. A 0/0 colorless construct artifact creature token with this creature gets +1/+1 for each artifact you control. Construct, because it's one of the Karn Planeswalkers made this token, and since then it's just been called a construct. The what is it called? The Urza Saga makes the same thing, the same sort of token.
It's like
But
a
this,
sad robot, right? You wouldn't say that, and it's kind of almost the same name here, right?
similar.
So you wouldn't say the thing that you would call it sad robot. So this right here, you just say it construct.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, Solemn Simulacrum is the sad robot, and the name shares the same with this card, so I guess you can call it sad robot makes constructs. I don't know. That just sounds a bit odd.
Sad construct.
Yeah, unless you're playing against it, then I mean, if you're playing against it, then the constructs are going to make you sad.
There's little similarities.
Did you?
Simulacrum. No, I'm
Did you?
sorry.
Yeah, you intentionally emphasized that word, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot of weird words, and there's a lot of words on this card. It kind of reminds me when we talked a while ago about when it enters, and it's like, isn't there more? It's like, no, they shorten that. And almost like if the game's going to get stronger, to push packs, they're going to need a lot of room. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I know they're trying to shorten text to simplify things, but at the same time, it feels like they're saving space so they could further complicate cards.
Yep. Gonna have to put reminder text on the new stuff, Like when you cloak a card, it's like, wait, what
Yeah.
does that do again?
This card is not on this week's Movers and Shakers. However, I'm willing to put money on it that this will be on next week's Movers and Shakers. This card has shot up. This right now is around $42.
Really, it's a mythic rare. It is on curve. It's three mana. It's an artifact. Blue. It's right in my wheelhouse. But you know what? I'm not really wanting to play with this right here.
Unless you're playing Affinity.
Aha. Now, in Vintage, I am.
Yeah, this card,
I'm
well,
well.
Vintage probably, but this is seeing is like the breakout deck in Legacy right now.
Let me clarify that I'm building a Vintage deck.
Okay.
Yeah, and I want to remind you that I'm buying like one card a week because the first one I bought was the Tundra.
All right, yeah.
Temporarily using it in one of my commander decks, but just because, hey, I paid with it, and I want to play. Pay to play. Well, that's your card of the week this week. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the Legacy deck that it's in. 18 lands, four of which are Urza Saga, which makes the construct, Seat of the Synod,
Yeah.
that blue artifact land.
So they're talking about that actually at work Saturday. The
Which?
deck, the deck.
Oh, this one? Yeah, I think Saturday is when it debuted in Magic Online. The leagues. The Out of the Lands also has like the blue black artifact land, Mistfield Bridge, creatures, Frogmite, Patrick Automaton, Fog Monitor, Sojourner's Companion, which is just a Murrin Forest, just with artifact land cycling, but interestingly enough, it has two creatures from Warhammer 40K.
Oh, wow.
It's got three copies of Sicarian Infiltrator and four copies of Skorpech Lord. Skorpech?
Yes, see it.
KH. Both are three drop artifact creatures that just do a lot of stuff. And of course, all of this triggers the four copies of Simulacrum Synthesizer. This has got a lot going on. Lotus Petals, Mox Opals, Metallic Rebuke for counterspells. This, interesting, it does have one copy of Lava Spur Boots. That's a new equipment from Thunder Junction. But this deck has been all over the place lately. At least in the last 2 days, it's been like the deck to beat.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's going to be a heavy artifact removal deck to counter it, or at least, you know, strong red deck out of the sideboard.
Well, so much. Yeah.
Yeah, but just keep an eye on what this can do in Legacy. That's really the what I want to reinforce. Because if this deck continues to do well this week, the price will go up a little bit more, and mm-hmm. you'll see it on the next episode of not Dragon Ball Z, on the next episode of the Crypto Commander.
Oh yeah, so. Number one, it's a lot of words, and it's a lot like tongue twisting words too, right?
Yeah.
Now the playtest ability is going to be coming, especially to kitchen table players. Okay, when you say Legacy, that's really the first thing that comes to my head, and that's where the fun happens, right? Kitchen table players. I'm almost scared because I'm building. I hate to sound like a broken record, but a vintage deck, and at this point in time, even though it's funny. And I know it's funny, but I can afford one card a week, right? You just said Frogmite. You said a couple other cards that are in the deck that I'm building. You know, it just scares me that if this card right here is this powerful, I'm not even wanting to use it. And it goes in one of the decks I'm building. It just scares me, Onik. It's going to push the other cards up.
Yeah.
You know, but one thing I do love WotC about is the reprintability of some of these cards. Tear the Peak. You know, to me and you, that's not too old of a card, right? But to some right. people, and I will go as far as to say most people at my local game store, never even heard of it. It's like, oh, wow. Well, you guys are going to have a chance to get it in your hands. You're going to have a chance to pull it, you know?
Yeah, and then they're like, what do you mean chance? Like,
yeah.
It's a new card. Well, I mean, to be fair, I didn't realize that Archangel of Tides was a reprint.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if that card saw that much play. I mean, maybe it has. Maybe I was just...
It goes with me, too.
Attention, but yeah.
These newspaper cards, apparently they're reprints, just like Enchanted Tales from Wilds of Eldraine.
Yes.
Right? So I'm looking at one of these cards, and I'm like, no, that's new. That's new. And they're like, they're all reprints. And I'm like, oh, that's right. I don't remember some of these cards. I mean, of course, murder and all this, right? Some of these, it's like, oh man, I forgot that is even a card. Like, so many cards, Onik, so many cards. But yeah, all right. I'm gonna switch over to Movers and Shakers.
The actual one, not my hot take. Movers and Shakers,
and that's okay. That's okay. We love you the same. Let's see here, Movers and Shakers, powered by MTGStocks.com. I see it's going past one, just a little slow. Here we go. Wow, Onik, the first card this week, Bitter Blossom. And this is from Enchanted Tales. I just talked about that, right?
Yeah.
$14 even. It's stabilizing at $14. So, Bitter Blossom, I didn't even realize it was actually a part of Wilds of Eldraine. Wow.
Yeah, from the bonus sheet.
I mean, yeah, of course, but because all these cards are, right? They're not even standard legal, but it confuses people, too, like the Jurassic Park cards from Ixalan, you know. This stuff
the ultimate, yeah, the Ultimate Masters of Bitter Blossom, actually, at its peak, I'm looking at around, like, $63.
Yeah, it goes up there, but this right here is a beautiful version of it. I don't see it going up immediately. Especially if it's stabilizing at $14, but I can see it eventually going up with yeah. a pretty version like this. so readily available. Is it printed at Mythic? It is.
This version is Mythic, yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, Did Lorwyn, Shadowmoor, all that have Mythic rarity? No,
they didn't. Conflux and Alara Reborn and Shards of Alara was the first time we saw Mythic.
Okay, yeah. So it probably...
Where it debuted, time. You know, when it debuted, it was definitely rare.
Right, but if that set had Mythics, then it probably would have been a Mythic.
It would have been, right.
Or rather, a candidate, we'll say.
A candidate, exactly, because the power level, some of these cards get upshifted or downshifted anyway, depending on where it places in the set. The
environment.
The power level of that card. Another one.
Another stable black card.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, not only is it black, but it's a classic. Toxic Deluge. I almost feel like I talk about this in real life so much. Now, what is this guy sitting at right now? Sitting at $7 even, slowly moving down. And we are looking at the... I can't read those letters.
It was the Murders of Karloth Manor Commander reprint.
Got it.
Maybe not a reprint, I suppose, but it was printed in one of the Commander decks. So I suppose that's a reprint.
Well, this would be a reprint. I don't think it's... I think it's new artwork.
No, this is not new artwork.
Same artwork?
Yeah.
And last but not least, this cheap pickup, Mizzix Mastery, $2.26. It is moving up. This card has some history. Now, number three this week, it's a green card. Aftermath Analyst, $2.70. Number three because it's up 93%.
As an uncommon from the most recent set, Murders of Karloth Manor.
Wow.
I have one sitting right in front of me. It's been used in standard combo decks, as well as like some commander pieces here and there, but standard's been using this guy a lot.
Yuma, the Mothman, and the Master Transcendent, they're utilizing it.
Yeah.
But the Yuma is the primary reason for the card to move up all of a sudden. Number two this week, it's an oldie. Sabo's Web, that's spelled T-S-A-B apostrophe S. And it currently is $9.89. It's up 140%. And it's 23 years old.
Something like that. I remember Invasion, yeah. I remember hating this card because the art was just so creepy.
I didn't like it either.
I mean, Sabo Tavak, I think, is just... It's like a weird spider-looking demon horror, whatever. I think it's the one that killed Jared in that story, or really messed with the whole thing. It might have been female, whatever. This is the main bad guy in the story, but it's just a creepy mask-looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy.
There is a pre-made deck out of this new set, Outlaws for Thunder Junction. And one of the premades has the ability of get additional upkeep or, you know, what is it? Untap stuff.
Oh, Obeka. Yeah, upkeep.
So upkeep. So during your upkeep, if you got additional upkeeps, one of the guys at the game store, a regular, he's like, he's getting shrines. He's getting creatures that get ETBs or not ETBs other way around at the beginning of your upkeep, right? He's got anything and everything. And he's also looking at sagas. And I'm like, dude, this is just getting insane. So this right here, you know, lands with an activated ability that don't produce mana type, don't untap during the control untap steps. This would be a good sideboard card to go against that.
Oh, okay.
If you can see where I'm going with that. But number one this week, are you ready? And to me, it's no surprise, but let me get down and dirty. Court of Lochlin. And I've sold a couple of these. $20.16. It's up 316%. What do we know about this guy?
Not to be confused with what we talked about just last week, which was Court of Antris.
Yes.
But I think it's
Obeka. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's the same commander that's driving the price increase.
So Tiny Bones is relevant. I see it, Onique. I see it. Wow, man. So that brings this card up 316%.
Whoa. Yeah, I mean, just, you know how it goes. People say, oh, this card's nuts, and they start buying out the card like crazy.
Yeah.
And then once it sells out at, what was it before? $4. So once it sells out at $4, and if it sells out within like a couple hours or so, maybe like a day, all the vendors would be like, okay, well, if we're going to restock, we're not going to sell it at four, probably not at eight. So let's just go crazy in 12. We'll start with 12, and then it still sells. So it keeps going up.
Back in November.
It's going to fall back down a little bit, but I don't think it's going to stay stable at 20.
At the end of October, beginning of November last year, this card was only worth $1.60. Okay. And the extended art version, only $1.40. So, yeah. But there's a big difference. Let me scroll over. There we go. Cool. There's a big difference right here. Okay. Check this out. The regular version, $7.42, and the extended art, $3.22. And that was December 10th of last year. Sometimes the most prettiest version of these cards can be the most affordable. It just amazes me, man. Oh, this one's only 60 cents, but the regular version is $10 because nobody can get it. You know, so it comes to a point of, is there a lot of these collector packs being opened, a lot of these set packs being opened, a lot of these play boosters being opened versus regular draft, you know?
Yeah, the answer is yes.
And the old product of draft on my shelves, I'm getting it because we're buying collections, right? And I'm able to get old sealed product that way. But the new stuff is only going to be play boosters or collector, which is a good thing, but it goes back into the problem of what we just talked about. The most prettiest version is usually cheaper or more affordable. I don't like to say cheaper. It devalues any product. You know what I'm saying? So like mm-hmm. The One Ring, you look at the One Ring, you get the extended art, full frame, beautiful, right? It's beautiful, $55. You get the one that's regular with a little bitty picture on it and a whole lot of words, $109. Makes no sense.
Well, I mean, because the panoramic one, the pretty one that you called it, that version was guaranteed in the bundle.
Absolutely. Absolutely so, it is. It's overprinted.
Yeah. So I think with the collector boosters in general, have more of a chance to get the borderless or extended art version than the regular version.
Yeah, that's exactly what the case is.
So players are just opening up more collector boosters than set/play boosters, then you're going to have more of those versions really available, which is good for me because I like the borderless ones. Yeah. So keep opening them up and make the prices cheaper for me. Thank you.
All right, and that's your movers and shakers. Onique.
Like I said, my hot take next week is that we're going to have Simulacrum Synthesizer on the list, as well as Tiny Bones, because Tiny Bones has gone up a lot as well.
So and like we'll I said, see if I'm yeah. right. Like I said, it's relevant, yeah.
Yeah. Some people are calling Tiny Bones like the next Ragavan.
It could be. And I didn't see it at first, right? I'm like, you know, he's one black. And he's so adorable. He's so adorable. Not as adorable as that new one. What's it called? Come on, you know the name of that new guy. Newt or something.
Which one?
The cute little alien one from Outlaws. Newt.
Oh, Zoom. Loot.
There you go. That guy's adorable, right? Tiny Bones isn't as adorable as that guy. But Tiny Bones is adorable. Let me go back here.
I don't know about adorable, but I'll say cute.
We got some Pro Tour stuff we want to talk about, and you wanted to ask me some questions. So let's just talk about the Pro Tour weekend we just had.
Yeah, no, that we've just had, that we're about to have.
Oh, boy. I'll let you start it's then. Yeah.
So the Pro Tour is actually coming up this weekend, which I totally forgot about because there's no major convention to go along with it.
Yeah.
It's not like Pro Tour Chicago or Amsterdam or Las Vegas because it's not a giant convention. It's just a tournament, basically.
Right. It's so you're not going to have
this weekend. So April. Go ahead.
You're not going to have like a pit pass or a jewel pass or, you know, you're not going to have other content creators there. Well, you might have a few. You might have a few, you know, but it's not going to be like the.
I think this is strictly just a tournament.
Yeah. It's not going to be like a 30-year anniversary or nothing.
No, but it is. I think it's taking place in Seattle. So this is an in-person event. So I'm curious on like what the venue is like, unless they're just going to play inside Wizards building. But it's like 200 players. The formats are going to be standard and draft. Of course, it's going to be draft. They always do it. But standard. And this is like really soon after the set has been released. Like the official release was just a couple days ago. So to do a pro tour of a draft like the week after the release, I think it's going to be really interesting because the format isn't solved yet. Like, at this point, if you draft Murders of Karlov Manor, red white is the way to go, followed by white red is the way to go, followed by white blue detectives or bright green. But this one we don't know yet, so I think S Portion is going to be really interesting. Now, like I said, 200 players and go ahead.
I was going to say, the Outlaws for Thunder Junction, what I've been noticing at my local game store is it's only been really fun and limited.
As opposed to standard?
Yeah. So, like, people are dibble-dabbling with it in standard now that it became legal on Friday and whatnot, right? And the results aren't really, like, everybody's getting upset that there's more combat tricks going on in standard because of Outlaws. And I'm seeing that, right? But the fun that's being had is in sealed. Whether they're doing the pre-release kits or they're doing a draft, I'm just not seeing fun with these outlaw cards. It's really the outlaw cards of Thunder Junction is power crept, kind of like Throne of Eldraine was. You know what I'm saying?
Are you talking about in limited or
yeah,
in standard?
Limited. So in limited, it's fun. But in standard, I'm seeing people getting salty.
So, what is power crept? In what format? In limited or in standard?
In standard, people are getting salty. But in the sealed draft environment, they're having fun. Like, there's no wrong way to eat. There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's, right? You can draft with the set, and all those people are just having so much fun. They're even making jokes and their stomachs are hurting from laughing so much. But then when you get these in particular cards from this set into constructed decks, it's a different story altogether. That's what I'm seeing.
I haven't seen any of that yet.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, maybe what you're seeing, it will be reflected in the event.
It could be. Yeah, it could be. Sure.
Deck lists will be available. I think we'll have the meta game breakdown, I believe, on Thursday, and then the full deck list will be available on Friday as soon as round one has been completed. That's usually what they've been doing. But we'll see what shows up. I mean, I'm kind of assuming it's basically the same list that we have, the same meta that we have with a few breakout stuff here and there.
It makes you wonder. I was just saying, it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
I'm going to see if I can have a couple predictions of what cards are going to be see play in. I'll make a list and I'll send it to you before Friday of maybe like the top X cards that I think we'll see standard play, and then we'll see if I'm right or not.
I want to do the same thing.
Okay, sweet. Then I'll go with you later on to see, I guess, quote unquote, what the rules are, and we'll see.
Yeah, we'll write something together.
Who gets show, more yeah. points? We'll see. Yeah. But there's just like over 200 competitors. I'm just curious. I looked at the competitors list, and just out of curiosity, how many Pro Tour regulars do you know out of these lists? Because these are the ones that I recognize.
Sure. Probably a lot of them. So I think
how many of these that you recognize too.
This will be on Twitch, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I can go to Magic Twitch, basically.
Yeah. Was it Magic or twitch.com/magic?
There you go. Okay.
So I'm curious if you've heard of these following names.
Go ahead.
Jake Beardsley.
Yes.
Okay. Autumn Burchett.
Yes. One of my favorite players.
I should remember. Yes,
I think won the first Mythic Championship as well.
One of the early ones, or at least on Arena.
I think
Marcio Carvalho.
No.
Jim Davis.
It sounds like the guy that created Garfield, so I'm going to say no.
Jean-Emmanuel Duprat.
The last name again?
Duprat.
No. No.
Javier Dominguez.
Yes.
Reed Duke.
Yes.
Obviously. Willie Edel.
One more time.
Willie Edel.
No.
Martin Jusa.
No.
Frank Karsten.
No.
Eli Cassis.
No.
Brian Keebler.
Yes. Brian?
Yeah, I hope so.
Go, Brian. Go, Brian. Go, go, go. Go ahead.
Seth Manfield.
Yeah, Seth's from Missouri. Yeah.
Andrea Mengucci.
No, but he's a newcomer, right?
Oh, he's been around for a while.
Okay, yeah, no, I don't know him.
Gabriel Nassif.
Yes, yeah, yellow hat.
Yep. Simon Nielsen.
No, I don't know that one.
Greg Orange.
No, I don't know him.
Sam Pardee.
Oh, yeah.
Nathan Stoyer.
No.
Two more. Yuta Takahashi.
Yes.
Probably because I've mentioned this several times in the past. And the last one, Shota Yusuka.
No.
So out of these, was it 21 I think there are? Is it 21? So out of the 21 players that I mentioned, you got 9 of them.
Ouch.
Ouch. I mean, it's the pro scene.
Yeah.
You know, if you're... A lot of players don't care about the pro scene or even are aware of what professional magic is like.
Yeah.
You know, some of the casual players, once they reach Mythic on Arena, they might think they're a pro or they're good at the game or whatever the case is. Like, this is a whole new level. I'm not expecting people to know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're following, you know, LeBron James or whatever of the NBA. They're not like that level.
But they are to people like me, though. You know what I'm saying? And that's the way I grew up. Brian Kibler, he is no stranger, man. I think he was one of the guys even had his face on a Magic card, you know. He became a pro player when he even comes to Hearthstone, you know. I think
that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I look up to Brian Kibler, man. And he was also a credit for, like, the Brian Kibler shuffle when, like, you switch your cards in your hands real quick or whatever. And if you look at Brian Kibler when he plays, it's just amazing. It's like watching a god at work, you know. But a lot of these players you mentioned, man, they deserve to be where they're at, though, you know.
Oh yeah, and that's just the ones that I mentioned. There's another like 150 or so that I didn't mention that earned their way. I might have missed some. There are maybe there's some other players who have showed up in the last like 3 or 4 pro tours that I just haven't noticed yet. So maybe I'm missing like also a bunch of them. But either way, Pro Tour Thunder Junction, that's happening this coming weekend. And then once the results, you know, we'll talk about it next week as well once we get the metagame breakdown and the results of it all.
It's a different beast, Onik, the pro level scene, you know. And I'm thinking about going right back into it, and then they print another Emrakul. So I'm like, I don't. And I'm going to go ahead and wait a minute. You know? Emrakul, dude, it's the spaghetti monster. You know what Emrakul is, right?
Yeah.
That's the third iteration. So you used to be able to say the spaghetti monster and then the baby version. Now this one is going to be bypassing the previous baby version. This guy is just sick. This guy's just sick. That's going to be for another podcast, too.
Now, yeah, once MH3 starts releasing the spoilers, we'll get into that.
I've really got no more notes over here, so I think you've got all the notes from here on out. I'm going to let you have it.
Okay. So this news came out a couple days ago, less than a week. I think it's happened on Tuesday. So about a week ago, probably a little bit over a week by the time some of you guys listen to this episode. Cynthia Williams, president of Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro Gaming, has informed Hasbro that on Monday, last week, her intent to resign from the company, April 26th. So she is resigning. That's really about it. There's not too much else attached to this, other than she's leaving the company, and some people are happy that she's leaving. She's been in her position for 2 years. My speculation is that the quarterly report has been received or generated or whatever internally to Hasbro. And my guess is that it's another positive for Wizards of the Coast, but another negative for Hasbro. And I think there's been one too many negative earnings for Hasbro in a row to where she's just saying, okay, I'm not doing a good job. Or she might feel pressure from other people to resign. So I think she just kind of did it herself. That's my hot take in it. The earnings will be public very, very soon. Again, by the time you guys listen to this episode, it'll probably be out for everyone.
Yeah.
Some people are saying that she is like the reason or one of the contributing factors of why there's so much product being pushed out. I don't think that's true. Mm-hmm. Because in 2 years, like, Magic is already making sets. They're already working at sets that are going to be released 2 years from now.
3 years.
Yeah, 3 years. So when she was put into position, you know, like, you can't force things to come out that soon. Otherwise, it's just going to be a very, very bad product. So these things take time, and I don't think, I mean, maybe there's some other supplemental things. Maybe things are pushed out a little bit sooner. Like a release date of, let's say, like December, it was bumped up to June. Maybe that's the thing.
We don't know, right? And that's what I was right. Getting ready to say a few seconds ago is it could be something to do with the quarterly report. But in my opinion, it's got nothing to do with the quarterly report. A woman's going to resign from her position. I don't know the details. I can speculate. I could probably throw out three good ideas and maybe seven other ones that I wouldn't want to entertain, right? But, but all jokes aside, man, I really just don't know the details. And with the product thing, I think they're doing a good job. And I'm not going to be that guy where if it's not for you, skip it, right? I'm just saying that we had a month where we weren't pressured at a local game store to go buy more product. You had the murders at Karloff. We had the Clue edition out of nowhere, right? And then a month goes by, and I'm like, wait a minute. Ain't I supposed to be buying some more product right now? And they're like, no, man, this next month on their junction. I'm like, well, thank goodness, you know? And I don't think it really has a connection with the product. We've got things like Universes Beyond. You're going to have Final Fantasy, Snap, Marvel Snap. There's another one that I'm forgetting. It's coming out pretty soon, too.
We've got Magic-related stuff?
Oh, yeah, magically stuff. You got Secret Layers, too.
I mean, Marvel Snap is a whole separate thing, but there is Marvel Universes Beyond.
That's what I'm talking about. It's going to be Marvel Snap Universes Beyond, which is going to be like a Commander deck only kind of a thing.
Right,
like,
but well, no, I don't think so. But that's something separate.
Fallout was the same thing. It was Commander decks only with Commander with collector packs. I know it could be something totally different, right? But we've got other things here.
Yeah, I know we're going to talk a little bit more about this next week once we have the earnings report. And I do believe it's because of the company's financial situation. But that's just a guess. And then right now they don't have anyone lined up yet to be the predecessor. The one to take the next position. But yeah, we'll see in the next couple of weeks and we'll go from there. Also, pay attention to stocks. That's going to be interesting. Moving on to the next topic, something exciting.
Well, stocks went down, I think I heard.
In the last 3 months, they've gone up. Okay. But anyway, Thunder Junction is clearly a Cowboy set.
Mm-hmm.
Western set, whatever you want to call it. But on this, let's talk about Cowboy Bebop. There is a promotion in Japan that you can get 5 cards in the Cowboy Bebop style.
Oh, nice.
There are going to be deck sleeves. There are going to be play mats. They're all going to be limited quantity. I'm not so sure exactly how to earn them. I think you need to participate in events for the deck sleeves and the play mats. For the cards, I believe it's just participation. This news broke out, I believe, Thursday or Friday for Japanese, for the Japanese players. This morning, Monday morning, I found out that they're going to do it for the U.S. as well.
What?
Right now, all I have are the English versions of the cards. I don't know if they're going to do the playmats and all that stuff. But the 5 cards are Ossification, Disdainful Stroke, Go for the Throat, Lightning Strike, Snakeskin Veil. One of each color. And if you've seen the opening intro for Cowboy Bebop, the art is just like that. Actually, they did a collaboration to where they did the opening intro for Cowboy Bebop, but with Oko and the gang. So if you haven't looked, you need to go see it. Watch it and look out for these cards. They're all pretty cool. I think you can earn them for upcoming standard showdowns at your LGS, and I think it's just a participation thing. Just show up, register, and you get the card. They're sprinkled out in the next upcoming standard showdowns. So I think like to get all 5 of them, is literally the 5th event is a year from now. So basically once every 3 months.
Wow.
So give it time. They're coming out slowly. Have you seen these cards or not yet?
Yeah, you showed them to me.
Oh, yeah, of course I did. I sent them to you. Yeah, but check if you haven't watched the trailer, it's pretty catchy. They did a really good job on it. Last thing I want to talk about, Commander Rules Committee, they had an update. And the update was basically like non-existent. It was really just like no bannings. We're not doing anything. The end. And that was really it.
No way.
The link I sent you, you can read it in just a few minutes. Cards, no changes. Rules, no changes. And then they have like document updates, and then I lost up on injunction notes, and then that's really it. Just basically saying like, here's a BNL report, no bans, have a nice day, see you next quarter. However, some people care about this sort of thing when you Commander Clash, which is the MTG Goldfish with Saffron Olive and the crew, they have their own Commander rules, BNR, whatever you want to call it. Like they have their own, they have their own little BNR thingy.
No way. So they're like a secondary Commander Rules Committee?
They're not a secondary. No, they're not. But they do Commander Clash on Twitch or YouTube or whatever.
Sure, sure.
They stream it. And they have like some other like Magic personalities come and play, but they have a set ban list just for that.
Their play group.
Yeah, just for their play group.
Yeah.
Which encourages more fun games or discourages a bit more competitive things. So the current ban list as of 3 days ago, because they just recently just banned 2 more cards. The current ban list is anything like fast mana, which includes Soul Ring, Mana Crypt, Mana Vault, Jeweled Lotus, Dockside Extortionist, and Gaia's Cradle, Smothering Tithe, Rhystic Study, and then the 2 new additions, Field of the Dead and Glacial Chasm.
And this is their ban list?
This their own ban list. Plus, whatever else is already on the ban list of the actual CRC, Commander Rules Committee.
That just, to me, sounds like their play group. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
I don't I don't really care about anybody banning anything. You can play Cheaty Face, you know. If they're going to have people put, you know, oh, it's okay for Commander because it's a gold border or a silver border, Cheaty Face is the same way. You know the card Cheaty Face?
Yeah, the unglued or unhinged or whatever. Like, yeah. if you can sneak it onto the battlefield without your opponent noticing,
yeah,
then it's fair game.
It's legal, right. So I'm like, you know what? If that's Commander legal, then just so be it, right? It really depends on your play group. It goes back to rule zero. You want to talk to your play group before you want to whip anything out, you know? It's just all subjective, you know? And we talk about it over and over. It's almost like the same thing about proxy, not proxy. You know, it's just talk to your play group. And it sounds like these people that are very famous, each one has their own huge following.
Yes. You know?
And if I went on one of those shows, I would adhere to their little ban list. You know what I'm saying? I would definitely play by the rules. But you named about half the cards in my deck. You know? I'm like, I got Rhystic Study. What's the other one called?
Smothering Tithe.
Not Smothering Tithe, but Mystical Remora. Is they going to ban that one too?
No, was on their ban list, but I think they removed it at some point.
Right, yeah. No card really needs to be banned. You know, a Jeweled Lotus, good luck on even drawing it. You know, what are you going to do? Mulligan until you get it and you can finally play it and you only get that and Land of War Elf? Good luck, you know? I just think if you're playing seven cards in your opening hand or even four or five, then you're still down that many cards, though. You know what I'm saying? If you're lucky enough to pull off a two-card combo and just kill everybody right now, that's probably going to be turn five or eight. It's not going to be immediately unless everybody at the table is playing CEDH, you know?
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Commander Clash is trying to avoid CEDH vibes.
There you go.
I mean, maybe, like, you know, Thassa's Oracle is something that they could consider, but maybe just the fact that you have Thassa's Oracle in your deck almost automatically makes you a competitive deck.
So are they
not playing, necessarily true with the other cards that we mentioned?
Are they playing like Golos's band? Or are they playing like no ban list and this is their ban list?
It's whatever is actually banned in Commander.
Plus,
which I think is Golos is one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus these other cards.
Got it. Okay. Well, it makes sense. You know, it makes sense. It's their play group.
Yeah, exactly. Which this is why I brought it up is because you may have seen different LGSs, you know, posting on Facebook or in their own Discord or even Reddit or something that, like, if you want to play Commander at this LGS, here are the house rules. This is banned. That is banned. Some places go even little, like, a step further, like no board wipes, no countering two spells per turn or something nonsense like that. Like, to me, it's nonsense.
I don't know about house rules. I think of things being frowned upon are fine, you know? I mean, I wouldn't stop
someone
from playing because they only have one deck on them. And they're like, but it does have Armageddon in it. And it's like, you know what, Charlie Tuna? Come on, get on the table. Let's go, right?
Yeah, but then what if they have, like, Armageddon and Ravages of War and
Smothering Tithe and Rhystic Study.
And like Jewel Cataclysm Lotus. And then everything else. It's like, okay, well, hold on now.
Yeah. You only told me about the Armageddon. I think, but again, I think it's going to be, because of my local game store where I'm at in Arizona, it's like these things are just frowned upon. And, you know, and it's like we tell new people getting into the format, you know, these things are frowned upon. It's not like you can't play it anywhere else. It's just these people around here. They're like, oh man, that's not really nice, you know? And then they'll probably go through the motion of getting rid of their lands, but they're like, you know, that's not really nice.
Yeah. It's just, you want to be mindful of the play group and the environment that you're in and you know, the people that you're surrounded with.
Because a bunch of Bant players.
I mean, you don't want to come off as too strong. Or not too strong, but too assertive if you want to build a regular play group. Because if you are viewed as, like, overly competitive, Soul Ring and you know, Soul Ring is it comes in every single pre-con, you know?
Yeah.
But like even just having a Soul Ring out on turn one with a basic land, and if for the players who don't have that start, you're already in such a big advantage to where it could, depending again on the environment, it could be tough to make a comeback. Then it could be targeted with like Vandal Blast and weird things like that. And it could just make for an awkward environment.
Which I definitely run Vandal Blast in my deck.
Yeah. I mean the whole thing is just if you want to go with house rules, fine. You know, just make sure it's house rules that everyone is cool with and not that just what your own preference is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this the Commander Clash for MTG Goldfish is not just one person, it's a group of them, and they've talked about it and said, okay, well, we've agreed to add Field of the Dead and Glacial Chasm. So if that's what they want to do, cool. That's on them. I mean, that, you know, we're not going to go up and say, okay, let's play Commander with these rules because we're not a part of that group. But it's not a bad list to go off of, you know.
Sure.
I feel like if it makes Commander games a bit more on a level playing field, so where someone doesn't have a crazy head start, that's probably for the better.
Well, Onig, again, I want to say, you know, hand clap. Hold on, I'm going to clap for you. Did it come through?
I heard a single clap.
Oh. That sounded like butt cheeks.
Okay.
I want to thank you, man, again, for, you know, digging up this news. I didn't have much time this week to dig up much Magic the Gathering news. I should be more on it this week. So look forward to an action-packed adventure coming next week on next week's episode. And I do want to let you know I'm going to take a break from the YouTube side of things. Hold on. Getting a call from JJ. I'm going to take a break from the YouTube side of things. I'm just going to focus on the podcast for a while. And maybe we can put some old podcast episodes up there in the meantime or something. But yeah, I'm going to focus on the podcast. And if you like what you're hearing, please tell your friends. And if you want to help support the podcast further, don't forget patreon.com/thecrypticcommander. We appreciate all of you for tuning in today. And until next time, keep spell slinging.